Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Our series is entitled, Why? So we're answering questions that we often hear from you. People all the time stop us, pastors, staff members, and say, why this or why that? So last week, Caleb talked about why it seems sometimes prayer is not answered. He had a great perspective on how God works in our prayer life. I was in Mill Creek campus last week. We talked about why church is part of God's plan, and why many people feel like they don't need a church. So we're answering those questions, why. Today I want to talk about why free will. Many people say to us in various ways, why did God give us free will if he knew we were going to make bad choices, right? We oftentimes are struggling with our children or someone close to us that is making a wrong choice, and we're like, God, can't you just fix them? Can't you just make them do the right thing? So why free will? Why walking with God has to be a choice? Let's start in Joshua chapter 24. If you have your Bible with me, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Of course, remember, all of our sermon notes and all these scriptures will be in the Christian Faith Church app today, and you can follow along there in the media section of the app. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, Joshua is speaking to the nation of Israel, fear the Lord, or honor the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So God is actually saying that same message to all of us every day. Who are you going to serve? Who's going to be priority in your life? Who or what are you going to live for? Serve the Lord is his desire. Live for God is his desire. But choose for yourself. Every man, every woman is making that decision every day. Now, we often don't realize how many decisions we're making because we get into our habits, our routines, and we make choices without consciously thinking about it. We're just doing what we're doing. We're just going through our life, but we're actually choosing many times every day, even though it seems to be a subconscious decision, it's still a decision. And Joshua uses these words, we will serve the Lord. There is the greatest gift of God to all men and all women right there, the gift of your will. You have will power. That's your greatest power. We see it coming out in our children at the earliest age, right? They have their own will. They're making their own decisions. And you can say to them, don't do that. And they'll just look right at you and do it anyway. Will power is the greatest gift that God gave humanity. And in fact, it's probably the one thing that makes you more like God than anything else. willpower, the ability to choose. You choose everything from the things you do daily to the place you will live for eternity. God gave you the power to choose. Now, it's sad when we see many people who believe they've given that power away. They feel like victims. They feel like they're stuck in their circumstances. They feel like there's nothing they can do about their life. The fact is, that's a deception of the devil. You still have the power. My question is, what are you doing with it? You have the power to choose. What are you doing with it? The world is trying to get you to choose their way. Choose poverty. Choose sickness. Choose problems. Choose fear. Choose worry. But you don't have to. You can make a different choice. And Joshua stood before the nation of Israel, and he said, choose. Who are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that's the decision in big things and small things that you and I have to make every day. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it said, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Always an act of your will. God wanted men and women created in His likeness. He did not want plants, animals, angels. That's not who you are. You are not part of nature. You are made in the likeness and image of God. You're not part of the animal kingdom. There are certain things that maybe you can It's amazing how we people want to be animals and want to make animals people, right? We want to name them. We want to talk to them. We want to do all kinds of things. And your dog is looking at you like, you know, you really tripping, bro. You are tripping. You are different. You are made like God because God could have had all the animals He wanted. That wasn't what He wanted. All the plant life, all the nature that He wanted, that's not what He wanted. All the creation, planets, universes, still expanding at the speed of light, that's not what He wanted. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for someone who's like Him, created in His likeness and image with the power to choose. You know, we have movies and we make animals humans, right? We got the horse that we talk to. We got the, what else we got? We got the rat. We got the movie about the rat. And he's so cute. And we got Bambi, right? And hey, guys, I don't care what happened in the movie. Bambi is only venison. Get over it. It's all that it is. It's venison for a coyote or it's venison for you. It's all it is. You have dominion over everything in creation except other people. You have no right to control, dominate, abuse, misuse, or try to have dominion over another person. Governments that do are evil governments. People that do, we call them abusers. But you have dominion over the nature, the creation, the animal kingdom. You don't have dominion over another human being because that human being is different, is unique, is special, is made in the likeness and image of God. You cannot become one with a tree. You can hug a tree, kiss a tree, love a tree, talk to the tree. You're never going to be one with the tree, but you can be one with another human and one with God. Right? So that's reality. Now, because that's reality, you have this ability to choose. Your dog doesn't wake up tomorrow and say, you know, I want to learn Spanish. I'm tired of English. want to expand, want to understand some culture, want to get beyond myself. And after I learn Spanish, I'm going to learn Russian. I want to build some new friendships. No, not going to happen. He's going from the water bowl to the food bowl to the yard. That's about it. Roll over, do a few tricks. That's about it. You are choosing what you see, what you think about, what you meditate on, what you read, what language you speak, what new languages you speak, what people you're choosing. Even though you may forget, you are choosing thousands of things every day. Your horse, like, I'm going from the hay to the grain. I'm going to step outside. Oop, raining, I'm going to step back inside. That's it. You are not part of the animal kingdom. Every question why is answered in Scripture. If we would go to the Scripture, we would be wise. We'd start to see from God's perspective. If we are going to the world, we will be foolish. We will come up with some of the craziest ideas that don't work, which is why our world is spinning out of control, economically out of control, relationally out of control. Humanity struggles because they've come up with this idea that we can all have our own truth rather than following God's truth. Some of you have said to me, well, Pastor, I have found in my life my truth is a little bit different than your truth. You know what, guys? Your truth and my truth mean nothing. It's God's truth that matters. If you will serve God, follow God, trust God, you get to win in life. And you get to have it for eternity. You come up with your truth, you might as well go to the casino and roll the dice. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Aren't you glad he didn't put us in the desert? He doesn't want you living in poverty, wants you living in the lush. And he commanded them, he said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Why did he put that there? Because we needed a choice. If there was no other option, but we can do whatever we want, there's no choice. There's no decision to be made. But as soon as he put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, notice, it's knowledge, but not just evil, good and evil. So if you can choose the knowledge of the world, I'm going to live by the knowledge of humanity. I'm going to live by the knowledge of people, good and bad. Or I'm going to follow God. I'll get the knowledge. God will give you all the knowledge. He doesn't mind you having the knowledge, but it's which do you trust? Which do you obey? Which do you follow? The knowledge of God, the tree of life, or the knowledge of good and evil? Man, in our world today, we got some knowledge. Google it. It's there. Anything about everything. In the last decades, knowledge has multiplied at such a pace that there has never been a time in human history that we know what we know today. And it's only continuing to pick up pace. The prophet Daniel said in the last days, knowledge will double. In other words, it will just multiply. And it's happening. But are we better? Do our marriages last longer? Are our children happier? Are we prospering? Is our economy more stable? Hell no! I meant, heck no. Why? Because the knowledge of good and evil doesn't work. It's the knowledge of God. So you got to choose who you're going to trust, who you're going to believe, who you're going to follow in your life. So God put that choice in the garden. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what were they doing? They were symbolically rejecting the knowledge of God, choosing the knowledge of the world. I'm going to trust the knowledge of God. I'm going to trust my truth more than God's truth. I'm going to trust what I think more than what God thinks. I'm going to trust what everybody's doing, what's politically correct, what's popular, what's cool. I'm going that way, not God's way. So God said, fine. And they spiritually died on the spot. They didn't cease to exist. They died. When you die, you don't stop existing. Your spirit leaves your body. You are separated, but you're still existing. When you're spiritually dead, you still exist. You're just separated from God. They looked the same. They talked the same. They acted the same, but something changed, and they were cut off from God. Therefore, they couldn't live in the garden. They couldn't eat from the tree of life, and they had to start working, fending, living on their own because that was their choice. God will always protect your choice. I wonder how often God said, it's not a good choice, but go ahead. It's your choice. Well, you've said that to your kids, right? I don't think that's a good choice, but you're 17 now. What are you going to do? You're 18 now. What are you going to do? When parents try to remove their kid's choice, I'm talking about the kid that's getting up there, you know, 18 and 19 and 20, and parents are like, you're going to do what dad says. And they're thinking, I never do what dad says. The idea that you can control human beings' choice is a fallacy. You barely control it when they're little. You definitely don't control it when they become 17, 18, 19 years old. So all you can do is say, look, if you make this choice, it's probably what's going to happen. If you make this choice, it'll probably work out better. What are you going to do? The better you train your children in the process of choosing, right? So when they're little, we try to help them make right choices, make good decisions. The better we are at training them to choose, the better they'll be when they become adults. They're practiced. They know. Here's how you do. You see your choices, you make the wise choice, and they'll succeed, right? If you raise your kids demanding and commanding, you're going to do what dad said to do, or I'll beat the tar out of you, you're going to raise a fool. You're going to raise a fool. The girl is going to date a jerk because you're a jerk. Sorry, Dad, didn't mean to go there on Father's Day. The boy is going to be a jerk because he's not trained to make wise decisions. Part of training in wise decisions is the consequences of a bad decision, right? So I'm listening to my kids be parents, and sometimes they'll say to their kids, if you choose this, here's the consequence. And you can watch the kids trying to, let's see, is it worth it? That's parenting, training a child to make wise choices. And then you give them more and more freedom, which means they could make wrong decisions as they get older, and eventually they're on their own, making their own choice. You know what's tragic is when adult kids are calling mom and dad, asking them, what should I do? Now, it's one thing to say, what are my options? I need to make a decision. It's another thing to say, what should I do? Because now you're thinking, it's not my decision, it's someone else's decision. You've got to realize your greatest power in your Marvel world, your greatest power is your willpower, your ability to choose God, to choose wisely, to choose prosperity, to choose health, to choose peace, to choose joy. Use your power. Make good choices. And you will live the abundant life that God planned for you. Amen. In James chapter 1, James writes, if you have a lack, verse 5, if you lack wisdom or you lack anything, ask God. But when you ask God, ask in faith with no doubting. Now, that encourages me because this means it's possible. I can ask in faith. I can have no doubts. I can look to the Lord for whatever I lack. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, I just wish I had more faith. Okay, well, how much faith do you have? Well, I don't know. I don't think I have enough faith. Why? Why don't you have enough faith? Well, because I still have doubts. Okay, well, let's just decide we're not going to doubt. Well, I can't. But the Bible said you can. Ask in faith with no doubts. Well, I can't. Oh, you can. However, you've made the decision in the past to be double-minded. You pray, but you doubt. You believe, but you're not sure. You believe the Bible, but you don't want to obey the Bible. I know the Lord wants me to do this, but I want to do that. Probably God doesn't want me to date this person, but I really like him. See, it's that double-minded that we choose that. And James chapter 1 and verse 8 said, the double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So make a new choice. I'm going to stop being double-minded. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to be double-minded. It's a choice. It's a decision. Right? In Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You think you're smarter than God. God said, bring your tithe. You said, yeah, but God, you don't understand. I understand things that you don't understand. And God's like, really? You're going to go there? Pretty sure I'm doing better financially than you are. But we still argue with God, don't we? The Bible said, submit to your husband, love your wife. Yeah, but God, you don't understand. Wait, you're smarter than God? No, do not be wise in your own eyes. Keep your eyes on your fries. It's in the Bible somewhere. Trusting God means, God, you're smarter. John Osteen said years ago, the greatest thing I've learned in 40 years of ministry, God is smarter than me. So I've had four fathers in my life. I'm 67 years old now. I've had four fathers. My natural father died when I was pretty young. He taught me show up every day. He worked every day. He never missed a day. I never remember him missing a day of work, never was late to work, never was homesick, never had a vacation. I don't think I ever remember him having a vacation. He just showed up and he worked hard. So I learned that from my natural father. My second father was a man named Julius. He was the director of a rehab center, and a judge at Pierce County Court put me in that rehab center. He said, if you live there, you can stay there. If you leave, you're going to prison. So Wendy and I today still live in the rehab center. I don't want to go to prison. However, nowadays, everything I did is legal, so I don't know how that works. But so when I went into that rehab center, I met a man named Julius. Now think of it. I was 19 years old, a white kid from Spanaway. Julius was almost 60 years old, a black man from Washington, D.C. We were so different, and yet, I just believed everything he said. Somehow he became my father, and I trusted him, and I looked up to him, and believed that he could help me. So one of the first days that we'd been together, Joyce was talking about why I was an addict, why I was where I was, why I got into the addictions and all the problems and everything. And Joyce is talking to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I know. I know. I know, Joyce. I know. And he stopped, and he said, Big Red, if you know everything, why are you in a rehab center? See, we all think we know. We're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So you go to somebody for financial counseling, and they say, okay, here's what you do. Get your tithe, get your offering, get your saving, get your plan, don't borrow, don't buy on the card. Oh, I know, I know, I know. Well, if you know, why are you broke? Why are you in debt, right? We go to the nutritionalist. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to clean out the fridge. We're going to focus on these food groups. We're going to focus on this. Here's what we're going to do. I know, I know, I know. I know what you're going to say before you say it. If you know, why are you sick? See what I'm saying? We think we know. But what we know is not working. If you go to God and you say, God, I don't know, but I believe you do. I'm going to eat from the tree of life. I'm done eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So I want to know what God wants me to know. And God is not afraid to give you knowledge. He obviously will give you knowledge, but it's about the source. It's about the priority. It's about the perspective. If you think the knowledge of this world is going to make you successful, go to it. Go do it. But I'm saying the knowledge of God and following God will take you way beyond what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will ever bring you. That means you trust in the Lord more than you trust in the world. You trust in the Lord more than you trust in natural man's knowledge. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Really, church, all we can give God is our trust. It's really all we have because he created everything. Which is kind of funny when people are afraid to tithe. It's like God gave you everything you have, but you're afraid to give him 10%. See, your knowledge is a little off. You're saying to God, well, I think. And God's like, yeah, but your thinking doesn't work. Right? It's like the little kid who says to dad, well, I think. And dad says, yeah, but you're wrong. So you've got to decide, who do you believe? Who do you trust? All you can give God is your confidence, your trust, your belief. So my first father taught me to work hard. My second father taught me that I could change and follow God, that I could renew my mind to God's word. My third father was a black man from Los Angeles who passed away last year. His name was Fred Price. Great church, great pastor, great teacher, great man. Man, I loved Fred. I saw him on television, and I said, God, I want to meet him. Well, a few months later, he was speaking at a conference. I went and I sat on the front row for 3 days. And on the third day, I was invited to sit on the platform because the church was overflow, and they'd heard I was a pastor at a new church in Seattle, and they asked me to sit up there so they would have more room for the congregation. And I'm sitting on the platform, and Fred came out, and Fred said, can I sit on your lap? And I said, heck yeah. And that was the beginning of our relationship. Later that day, I said, Fred, I want to come to your church. I want to learn how you do it. I want you to be my pastor. And Fred said, come on. And the next thing you know, Wendy and I are sitting there and having dinner with them and following them around for a few days. And they became our spiritual parents and Fred and Betty Price impacted our life in an amazing way. But every time Fred taught, he would say these words. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Every message. If you saw the TV show, you heard it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Every day you choose. Do you walk by faith? You walk by your senses. Walk by faith or walk by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Walk by faith or walk by the ways of the world. You got to decide. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to trust? Well, I'm going to do my own research. Really? Reading Google is not research. They're feeding you what they want you to think. You trusting Google? Is it Google anymore? What is it? ABC? Meta? I thought Meta was some kind of cheese. What's Meta? Facebook is Meta. It's a cheese now. Went from Facebook to cheese. Oh, no, that's feta. Yeah, I'm telling you, the tree of knowledge is messed up. Okay, so my fourth father came in the first years of our church, Dr. David Yonggi Cho, pastored the largest church in the world. It's in Seoul, Korea. Also passed away last year. Dr. Cho came and spoke at our vision conference in the early 80s. Dr. Cho heard me speak on renewing the mind. I didn't know he was in the room, or I wouldn't have been speaking. But he heard me and he said, I love your message on renewing the mind. You must come to Korea and teach my people to renew the mind. I said, Dr. Cho, you got the largest church in the world. What am I going to teach them? You must come. So we went to Korea. So I'm getting ready to go out. I was told I was the only or first American speaker to speak at the 11 o'clock service in Seoul, Korea. There was 30,000 people in the room. There was another 20,000 people in overflow rooms. And we're getting ready to go out. I'm really nervous. I'm shaking. And we're going up the stairs, the back part of the platform, out onto the 30,000 Korean people. Dr. Cho stops us. Let's pray. Lord, I believe. Okay, let's go. I'm like, wait, pray longer. Pray more. Pray for me. But really, what else can you say when you pray? Right? I mean, we like to pray and get long and get eloquent, and we sound like we know King James English. Lord, I know that you know, that you feel what I feel. The Lord's like, okay, get to the point. What's the point? Right? Really, all we need to say is, God, I believe. And later I asked Dr. Cho, how do you define faith? He said, faith is a choice. Right? So we complicate it because we humans, we love the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we don't like get to the bottom line, nitty gritty, yes or no. We like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we discuss and we debate. We tweet about it. We study it, which means read Google. But God is pretty clear, pretty simple. Lord, I believe. Everywhere Jesus went, if you believe, boom, healing, supernatural, miracles, protection, provision. Don't know how to be smart. Don't have to have it all figured out. Don't have to be eloquent. Don't got to be cute. Don't got to have everything just right. One thing. You believe? Lord, I believe. Boom. That's it. And really, that's all we need. If you woke up every day and from your heart said, Lord, I believe. What are you saying? I believe you heal. I believe you protect. I believe you provide. I believe you're good. I believe you're God. I believe. I mean, the Lord will be like, I got you, girl. Right? But instead, we're like, Lord, now I need to feel something. I can use the brush of angels' wings to help me know for sure. How do I need a sign, Lord? Give me a sign. Really? And God is like, whew, how do I help these people? Right? Stop tripping. Stop imagining. Stop confusing yourself with double-mindedness. Lord, I believe. I trust. I'm walking with you. I'm following you. You got me? Okay, good. Let's go. Right? So that's all God's looking for. You don't need to be smart. You don't have to be beautiful or handsome. Thank the Lord. Lord, I believe. People used to ask Wendy and I, how did our church grow? How do we build sanctuaries? How do we gather thousands of people? How'd you do it? And we'd be like, oh, yeah, well, we had this strategy, and we would teach these things, and we had the family, and we had the renewal, and then we had this. No. It was we were tripping. Smoking too much pot. Well, not me. I'm in rehab. Wendy. Wendy, up there in Mill Creek, knock it off. Back in the day, you'd be arrested for that. But we do, don't we? We imagine, we complicate it. We try to come up with our own answer. Well, the Lord was saying, and the Lord, and the Lord. No, I had one thing going for me. I believe. I believe God called me. I believe God wanted to help people. I believe God told us to do church. I believe the Bible's true. I believe. It's really all I got. And still today, Lord, I believe. So my fourth father, my Korean father, he taught me faith is a choice. And every day, choose to believe. But the doctor said, yeah, but I believe. But the banker said, yeah, but I believe. But I heard on the news, yeah, but I believe. So I don't care. I don't care what the news said, banker said, doctor said, government, president, don't care. I'm not listening. La, la, la. Really, church, I'm not listening to the world. I don't care what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil says. I don't think Joe knows what he's saying. Why should I care what he's saying? Pick your Joe. I don't care which Joe you pick. Pick any Joe. Joe. Joe knows. Joe knows as much as Bo knows. You've got to decide, who are you following? Who do you trust? Well, my stockbroker, how are they doing these days? Probably not good because the stock market's down. So everybody's confused and wondering and worried. But if we believe, all those things don't matter, right? Okay, Deuteronomy 30. I'm running out of time. Stop distracting me. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, that you love the Lord your God, that you obey his voice, that you cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Okay, church, every day, today you woke up, you choose life or death. Joy or depression, peace or worry, blessing or cursing. You open the refrigerator, choose life or death. Okay, it may not be that drastic, but over the big term, over the big picture of life, yeah, you keep taking the wrong thing out of the fridge, you die. Your body breaks down. You choose the right thing, you live. Today, they had the table of things on the table when I got into the church, and there's like a maple bar, and there's some grapes. I'm like, dang, this is hard. I for sure want the maple bar, but I should take the grapes. Okay, I guess I'll better take both. But it's a choice, isn't it? Right? If you could break down your life to everyday choices, am I choosing life or death? Blessing or cursing? Okay, you're getting ready to talk to your spouse. Before the words come out of your mouth, is this going to bring blessing or cursing? Why would you say it if you know it's going to create a problem? Because you love the curse. You're comfortable with the curse. You've been flirting with the curse. You've been right? Even though you know it's bad, it's comfortable. That's your normal choice. We call that a habit, right? You eat bad food, though you know it's bad for you, but you're comfortable with it. That's why we call it comfort food. There's nothing that's healthy that seems comfortable. I don't know why. It's something about the trees and all the stuff. But the sooner you realize it's everyday choices, right? I'm sitting at my desk yesterday. I'm thinking, I need to go down, run on the treadmill, lift some weights, work it out, push it, strain it, take care of it. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm like, I really should go downstairs and do that. I'm reading. I'm just spacing out. Really should go down and run, lift some weights. Yeah, maybe I'll just read this. An hour later, I still haven't worked out. All right, why? Because my flesh is lazy. And I need to choose life. Choose blessing. Choose to work it. Choose to discipline it. The Bible said, discipline your flesh. Yeah, but we got maple bars. There's ice cream in the fridge, and Wendy made cheesecake the other night. Running on the treadmill, homemade cheesecake. I'm going to eat the cheesecake, not because I like it, but I want Wendy to know I appreciate her cooking. Right? That's how our mind works. We justify, we rationalize, we make excuses. I can't help it. It's the way I was raised. No, you can't help it. Make a new decision. Make a new choice. Choose life. Choose blessing. And if you can break down every moment of every day, is this life or death? Is it blessing or cursing? Is it health or sickness? Is it joy or sadness? Is it peace or worry? Okay, it's not that easy, I understand. But if we could begin to think that way, maybe we'd start choosing life more. Maybe we'd make a few choices that shifted our life under that tree of life, and God was able to bring more into our life. God will never go against your choice. You can't eat to be sick and then ask God to heal you. You got to choose health every day. Then when you ask God to heal you, he says, all right, I see you've been making that choice. I got you. But if you know your choices are wrong and you're asking God to change your will, it's never going to happen because he gave you that power. He will guard your ability to choose. So you got to choose life. You got to choose blessing. You got to choose discipline. You got to choose joy. Not easy, but we make that choice and God helps us. Why free will? Because you are made in the likeness and image of God. And God wants to be able to have a relationship with you. And that takes your will.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.